call. Let's be honest. One of the biggest lies that the devil tells us is that God is far removed from us, that he doesn't hear you. But we all know that the devil is a liar and he is an accuser of the brethren. Amen. So if he's been doing that into your life, I'm here to tell you, you need to do just what Jesus did. You need to rebuke him and say, it is written. The devil says if God was with you, you wouldn't be struggling. It is written, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When the devil says you failed too many times and God's done with you, it is written, Lamentations 3:23, my mercies are new every morning. The devil says you don't feel anything, your prayers aren't working. It is written, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. The devil says if God cared, he would have answered by now. It is written, Habakkuk 2:3, though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come unto you. The devil says your past disqualifies you. It is written, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The devil says God's far from you. It is written, James 4:8, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Hebrews 3:13-5, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. He will never leave you. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Lord, we believe in your word, Almighty God. We believe in your promises that you've spoken to us, that you'll never be far from us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. He's never far from you today. Don't let the devil trick you over and believe, make you believe it. It is written. Listen to the words of Moses that he says. He says, what nation is there so great who has God so near to them? That word nigh, that word near, it means present. It means accessible. It means close at hand. It doesn't mean that we're praying he's so far. He says he's as close as the mention of his name. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's near to you and he's near to us today. Moses is saying, Israel, never forget that you serve a God who's not distant, he's not silent, and he's not unreachable. He's near when you call on him. He was he that made you great. He said, it's not your military, it wasn't your economy, it wasn't your army, it was because God was with you is why you are great. God delivered you from Egypt. That's why you're great. Never forget. When they crossed the Red Sea and grumbling, he was there. When they were hungry and they were thirsty in the desert, he was there. When they were lost and afraid and surrounded by the enemy, he was there. He was near. Even when they rebelled, made a golden calf and started worshiping it, and they were grumbling, like I mentioned, God drew near. Because his nearness isn't based on perfection, it's based on the covenant of his love. It's not something that you do to earn God's love. God loves you today. He loves you from the past. He loves you. He knows what you're going to do in the future. And he's near to you. The good news is that God just didn't, his nearness didn't stop when the Old Testament ended. Through that new birth experience, we can have God living on the inside of us. We can, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we can walk around and have his spirit guide us and direct us and convict us and uplift us and encourage us. Because we have God on the inside. Amen. God's been near in that hospital room when the doctors had no answers. God's near in your lowest moment when you have friends and family that walk out on you because of your faith in God. He's near in the quiet moment when all you have is a prayer and a tear that says, God, I need you today. When that's all that your soul can exude in that moment, he's near. I ask you today, let your mind go back. Let it go back and remember these moments where God showed up. When you didn't have the words, but he heard your groaning. He heard the utterance of your spirit. Said, God, I don't even have the words to say, but you hear my heart. He's near to you this morning. Maybe you're here and you don't know what that closeness feels like. Maybe you don't. You say you think of church as just a building and it's not a relationship with God. Maybe you wondered, is God even real? Does he even hear me? Why would he care about something like me? Friend, let me tell you today, he's closer than you think. He's closer than you think. He's the God who saw you in the middle of your mess. He's the God who kept you alive when you should have been gone. Who brought you here this morning under divine appointment. It wasn't because of some happenstance, but you are here on divine appointment. He's not asking you to clean up first. He's just asking you to call on the Lord and said, I need you, God. I want that closeness with you that I've longed for. The world has hurts. The world has things that it does to our spirits. We feel that no one else cares. But God is a God who's near. He's not just powerful. He's not just holy. And he is both of those things. He is near. He traveled with Israel through fire and through the cloud. You can be here today with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He can be near to you just as he is today. Never forget that God is near. Second thing we should never forget. Should never forget what God has done. Never forget. Verse 9 says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. Diligently keep yourself. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. Moses is saying something so wonderful here. He's telling the children of Israel, you've seen too much God to act like you're acting right now. He said, you've been through too much to be acting like you're doing right now. Israel had witnessed those. They saw the plagues fell on Egypt. It didn't touch Israel. They saw the Red Sea split open. They saw the manna and the quail and all that. But after all of it, Moses knew they were in danger of losing their memory. When they got into the land of ease and of plenty, thinking, oh, we got it all made in the shade now. And they forget about what God brought them through to get to that point. They thought that that memory, that forgetfulness leads to faithlessness. I said forgetfulness leads to faithlessness. Because when we forget what God has done, we stop trusting in what he can do. You don't think about it when you're in their time and say, God, I need you. But I know you've done something for me in the past. I know you blessed me in the past. So I'm going to trust in you to bring me forward into what we're going to be doing. We're not that different from Israel sometimes. It's easy for us in the 21st century to read our Bible, read that Old Testament, be like, oh man, those Israelites, whew, they are silly. They do some crazy things. All the miracles. Yeah, it's easy for us to look back, but what if you were there in the desert? I would hope to myself that I would be the one that's trusting God. But when you have so many million people and those hearing all these voices and you're wondering where your food's coming from and your water's coming from and we're hungry, we don't know what's going to happen. Moses, what's going to happen? It's so easy to look back, but that's in our current situation. We do the same things over and over again. How many times has God shown up in our lives again and again and again? And then the next struggle we go through, we say, God, where are you? God, where are I don't know where you are. When God says, remember what I brought you through. Remember your past and the miracles that I did for you. Never forget that healing the doctors couldn't explain. Never forget when you were depressed, he lifted up your head. When you never forget when you couldn't sleep at night, he gave you peace in your mind. Never forget that accident he kept you from that you should be dead for right now. Never forget the addiction he brought you out of with his mighty hand. Never forget the prayer you whispered with streams down, tears down your face, and how he answered your simple, small prayer. Never forget when the enemy tried to destroy your family, but God said no. God said no, I'm going to draw their hearts. Never forget the time he forgave you when you couldn't forgive yourself. Never forget how God carried you through a season you didn't think you would survive. But God brought you through to the other side. He made a way when there seemed to be no way. David knew of this in Psalms 103:2. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. All the things you've done for me." He writes it in 1 Chronicles 16 as well. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Tell someone. Make his deeds known. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. Remember. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant, not just today, not just tomorrow, forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. And it little in fact, it doesn't just stop at 1,000 generations. It goes on and on and on because God is outside of our time. What he did for us, he can do for our kids and our grandkids and their kids as well. The church will go on. You might be thinking here this morning, well, Brother Heil, I don't have a story like you're talking about. I don't really have anything like that. Friend, you do. You're still breathing this morning, aren't you? You've survived things that others have not. At that moment when you should have lost everything, but something, or rather someone, intervened into that, and he kept you in that hand. So you might not have called it God in the moment, because your mind might not have been thinking that. But I'm sure if you took a moment and thought about, oh God, I didn't realize it at the time, but you were always on time. You were there back when I rejected you, back when I was in the depths of my sin, back when I was at my lowest point. But you were there the whole time. He's always near to us. God wants you to look back and say, that was me. Remember that part? Yeah, that was me. Remember that financial blessing? That was me. He's inviting you today to look back and remember, but not only to look back, to follow him forward and continue walking day by day. You don't have to have a perfect past. So many people think you got to be good and I got to be raised in this thing and I got to have all these things. No. God doesn't care about your past. He does care about your future, though. He does care what you do from this moment forward, because we have a choice that says, God, I can remember what you've done for me, but I'm going to continue remembering as I walk towards you, as I walk into glory to glory, from blessing into blessing. You're right beside me. We can make that choice and not just dwell on what it was before, but because he's doing something in the future as well. Remember, we praise God. We worship God not only for what he's done, but what he's going to do as well. I praise you because I know you did this before. I praise you because you can do it again. I worship you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for me. We do those things. The more we remember, the more our faith grows inside of us. It grows and it grows and it grows. The more you forget, or the more we're lax and not thinking about things the Lord has done, our heart starts to wonder a little bit. Because if my heart and my mind's not fixed on, Lord, what you want, then there's all these other things. I have my car, it's got to be fixed. I got this bills I got to pay. I got all these things start adding and say, God, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm putting it in your hands. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you are going to do it. And we've seen it in this church with the miracles that have been announced in the last couple of weeks. And I thank God for them. He's doing a work in this church. Amen. He's doing a work, and we're praising him for it, for what he's done and what he's going to do. I found some of the best ways you remember something, best ways to do it, is to verbalize it and to write it down. We have to say, if you write it down, if you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. When you speak it, you write it, you're not just remembering with your mind, you're reinforcing it with your spirit. because you're saying, oh, this is good. I gotta remember this. So I know Sister Ann talked about this in a Wisdom from the Pew a while back about the importance of journaling. I still have my journal, sis. She talked about that saying, if God did something for you, he answered a promise or he did a miracle for you, write it down. Write it down. So when you're in those times that our mind starts to fail, our mind starts to slip, we pull that out and say, hey, I have record of it. I have record of what the Lord has done for me. I see back in 2011, he touched my mom. I see in 2020, he kept me healthy. I see that in 2022, he gave me a bonus. Write it down. Remember it, because our minds are fickle things. See, so much information's got to come in. So much starts pushing out. God provided you. Write it down. Write the date. Some you can write in the margins of your Bible. There's margins on there. If you're reading your Bible, I say when you read your Bible, not if, hope. We're all reading our Bible. If you're reading your Bible and a scripture sticks out to you, because maybe that was a scripture you held on to when you were going through that time. Maybe that scripture really spoke to you in the moment of darkness. Write it down. God, circle it. God, thank you for this scripture. I needed this right then. So then when you're reading your Bible later, you can look, oh, I remember that brought me through that time. I remember that that was just what I needed just in time. Write it down. I've heard some talk that take sticky notes. Plaster them everywhere. You put them on your, some say your bathroom mirror. First thing you get up, you can see it. God is good. God is a provider. I'll put it on the fridge. We go to there like 72 times a day to open it up. See things in there. God, you fill us when we're hungry, right? God, you fill my spirit when I need you. When I go in my car, God, keep me safe. Reminders, keep it ever before your eyes. Lest we lax and don't remember his goodness. Moses said, keep thy soul diligent, lest I forget. Writing it is one way we keep our soul diligent. You know what Israel did? And Brother Mike already kind of hit on it. I'm going to say he stole my thunder. He just added to it. We shared in the thunder. What Israel did is they built altars. They built altars which were physical reminders, not only for them, but for their children as well. We may not go and stack a bunch of stones in a river. We may not build an altar with stone and wood and fire. But when you write it down, that can be an altar, a remembrance that says, hey, Lord, I thank you for what you did in this part of my life. And let not me just forget in my mind, I'm going to have it forever. Keep it safe. Keep it valuable. Write it down. Another way we can remember it is to say it out loud. Testify to someone. Tell someone. Share it with a friend. Because only you know your story the best. No one else can tell your story. They can tell their version of your life. They can see from the outside what I seen you were here, that I remember when you did this. Yeah, but you can say, you can remember it, but I walked through it. You may see it from the outside, but I was there when God held my hand, when nobody else was looking around, when nobody else saw me. I remember because I was there. And it's not just for me, it's for you as well. Write it down. The more you talk about it, the more it gets sealed in your heart. It's like you ever have a family story, you tell the story over and over, and sometimes it changes, hopefully it doesn't. But it changes, you remember those stories. Why? Because you've talked about it. We've mentioned it before. Psalms 107:2, which is one of the psalms we sing before, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If God has redeemed you, say something. Talk about it. Every time you share your testimony, it strengthens your memory. It builds not only that, it builds your faith, it builds somebody else's faith as well. Some other small things you could do, set a reminder on your phone once a week. Hey, thank God for what he's done. Ding. We're looking at our phones anyways, way too much. Put a reminder. Oh, God, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Let me take time out of my life. It's not that I don't have time. It's that I'm not making time. We need to make time to thank God. Some people will create a blessing board at home. They have like a poster board. And when they do something, they'll write something down and put on the blessing board. Thank you for that today. Family members can write stuff down. This is what they did in my life today. You can look at it and say, thank you, God, for the things that you've done. A reminder thing. Pick a worship song that reminds you of a specific season God carried for you through. Rehearse it. Revisit regularly to remind yourself of why that speaks to you. I know we all have those songs that just, oh, they speak to our soul. Maybe an older song, maybe a newer song, doesn't matter, but it's personal to you because you know where you were when you went through that with that song. If we don't make the effort to remember, we'll slowly drift into forgetfulness. And when you forget what God has done in the past, you stop trusting him in the present. So write it, speak it, revisit it, record it, pass it down, tell it to the next generation. That leads me to my last point. Number three, the third thing that we should never forget is never forget why it all matters that we don't forget. Never forget, why does it matter, Brother Jake, that I don't forget these things? Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 10 says, only take heed to yourself, diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from you all the days of your life. Here it is. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. At the very end it says, when they've all been gathered, why do all these things? Why? That you may teach them to their children. This final point is where Moses takes it real deep for us. He says, don't just remember for yourself. That's good. We should. I just went through why we should. That's good. Don't just do it for yourself. Do it for someone else. That he can do a miracle for us. He can do a miracle for us, but through us and for someone else. Because when you tell someone, we talked about it, that becomes a torch for them. They can say, well, if God did it for you, he can do it for me, right? I mean, if God loves you the same as God loves me, he can do it for me as well. So when you tell that, that passes it, the torch to the next person, they can carry that in faith. So your story is not just a story, it's a seed. Every time you plant that seed, you're sharing it with someone, you're planting that seed in their spirit. I remember when Pastor talked about how he was hurting in his back and he was hurting in his body, and God healed him of that wonderful thing. As you know, I hear when people lost their jobs and all of a sudden something miraculous, a job opening, they called and I got it. I didn't even apply for it, and they called for me. You remember those stories. When you tell your children what God did for you, you're showing them what God can do for them. What they can do for them. When you tell the church what God has brought you through, you're declaring he's still working today. He's still saving today. He's still restoring today. Why do I know it? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why he's called my heart and he saved it when I didn't need it in my life. Why? Because we tell the children. We live in a generation today that's drowning in information, but they're starving for revelation. Our kids need to know they can navigate TikTok, they can navigate Snapchat, they can navigate all the kinds of other technologies that I don't even know are out right now. But do they know who brought their parents through the wilderness? It's our job to tell them, because the world isn't going to tell our children our Red Sea story. The world isn't going to tell them about the blessings that he's done for our family. We have to tell them. If we don't, then they won't know. If they don't know, how can they remember? And if they can't remember, they're at risk of not remembering that God came through for the family when it's time for them to go through their own struggles. We can only raise them up so much and send them out on their own and say, I pray the blessings. But we're doing them an injustice if we don't tell them about what God's done in our lives. So when they get out, they can say, hey, I remember mom and dad talking about how God provided for them. And God, I need you right now. Not under mom, not under dad, not under me, mom, papa, everyone else. I need God for me. I need God in my life. And I have those stories. I remember my mom and dad talking about, oh, I remember when we didn't have any money, but God blessed us with money. I remember when we couldn't even have a kid, and we had you. You're a miracle in itself. Let them remember those things. So when they go through the trials, they'll be ready. Moses didn't say only teach doctrine. That's not what he said. And doctrine is good. Don't misunderstand me this morning. We should teach our children doctrine. It is our responsibility to do so. Kids' men's great. Youth is great. Everything's great. But it's our job to do that. teach them what you've experienced. It's handing down that remembrance. And if you don't have kids today, I understand that. If you don't have any grandkids, I understand that as well. God leads us all different paths. But we have a lot of church kids in this congregation. If you're under the age of 18 in this area, can you stand up? If you're under the age of 18, any of our kids or young people under the age of 18, please, I'm not going to make you do anything, I promise. Just stand for a real second. Okay, look around at these young people right here. These young people, they're not just the church of the future. They are the church of now. They go to camps. They go to be their worship. They are the church of now. They need more than rules. They need more than programs. They need to hear your stories from one generation passing to the next generation. The time, they need to hear about that time you gave up and God stepped in. The time that you were bound, but God broke those chains. Because if they can do it for them, they can do it for all these young people as well. Thank you. You may be seated. We have children in this church that they can be your babies if you let them. Their parents will let you. They can anchor them in truth, in stories of the goodness of God. David knew this exact principle when he wrote some of his psalms. Psalm 78, 1 through 4, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and we've known, and our fathers told us. We will not..." Everyone says, "We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." He says, we're not going to hide that from our kids. We're not going to shelter that from our kids. We're going to let them know, hey, God blessed me. God touched me. God pressed my heart. God was with me in those dark times. Tell it to our children. Tell it to our grandchildren. We will not neglected. Psalms 145, 1 through 4, "I will extol you, O my God. O King, I will bless your name forevermore. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name." Oh, hallelujah. "I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to the other and shall declare your mighty acts." One generation passes to the next generation and the next and the next and the next, because they need to know what the Lord has done. If you're here and you think, you know what? I don't have anything worth passing on. Sometimes we felt like that. I don't have anything. I think I've made too many mistakes. You may think that and say, well, you know what? God wants to make you a new story then. If you think your past is worthless, and it's not, because he's brought you here today. God says, "I know about your past, but I have a new story for you." He wants to turn your mess into a message. He wants to turn your pain into a purpose. He wants your struggle to be turned into your testimony. For all of you under the sound of my voice here today, God wants to use your story, and your story, and my story. Amen. He wants your memory. He wants you to use a light as a your life as a light to someone else, because you never know when your testimony could be the catalyst for someone else's breakthrough. You don't know that said, brother, I needed that word today. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that testimony. You could be the catalyst as someone's life is changing. But we're not going to forget. Can we all stand this morning? Can you musicians and the praise singers come on forward? So church, I want to invite you in just a moment. Hear me out. I want to invite you just for a moment. Not just to respond, but also to remember. Why is it? Because some have walked in here today. Some of you have battles that have been on your shoulders that you brought to the house of the Lord. You may be in a financial fight. You may be in a health battle, a spiritual war in your mind, or a family situation that's just really weighing you down. And the enemy's been whispering, "God's far from you. He's forgotten you. He's not going to come through." But we know today that God's word is clear. Never forget what he's done for you. If you're in a battle right now, I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come. I don't want you just to cry out, but I want you to worship him as well. Because I want you to stand at the altar and say, God, I may be in a fight right now, but I remember what you've brought me through. I don't know how you'll do it this time, but you've done it before. This is your moment to worship in remembrance and let your past victories fuel your present praise. So if you're going through something, maybe you need to lay down some anxiety, some fear, some confusion. Maybe you need to stand in faith and say, Lord, I haven't forgotten you. Today is your day. And if you're here, you're not just in a battle. Maybe you feel that you're just far from God. You've heard the stories. You know in your heart that you're not close. I tell you something this morning. The greatest memory you'll ever have is to give your life to God. The day you say, Lord, I'm done running from you. I want to run towards you is the best day you'll ever have. If it's this day, whether it's your first time or you've drifted away, you want to fight and remember what God's done for you, I invite you to this altar here this morning. Don't let this moment pass you. Don't let the enemy forget that God's arms are open. I ask you this morning to come and praise. And if you don't have anything going on, that's okay. I invite you to come and pray as well, because you know why? You may need to stand with a brother or a sister. You may need to stand in place of someone else says, God, I know it's not my life, but there's someone else I want to cry out to you for, because I know if you've done it for me, I know you can do it for them. So stand in and cry out. Stand in and call out to them this morning. Would you come? Would you be prayer warriors with us this morning? Let us remember the goodness and the graciousness of God. Let's pray this morning.